How do we do this?
I'm Taboo.
Hello, I'm Taboo.
And I'm Church.
And we are the Dark Souls 2.
And welcome to the Dark Souls 2, where this week we're talking about the first half of the Iron Keep.
Why do you never read ahead?
Well, it doesn't matter.
No, because you focus so much on getting the opening right.
Just cut out the gap. Just cut the gap out. You'll be fine.
No, people have to know now.
You're weird.
Hello, I'm Taboo.
And I'm Church.
And we are the Dark Souls 2.
And welcome to the Dark Souls 2, where this week we're talking about the first half of Iron Keep.
Why do you always rush that part?
Oh, fuck off. Anyway, just you're going to have to cut that out and put it in at the end like a fucking... This is what you do. This is what you do with the outro. The outro is your way to get back at me. It's got to be. You're going to have the little victories you can get, right?
Oh, yeah. It's my only opportunity to make you look bad because you don't fucking do it enough.
Well, apparently I do because on the Twitch stream, people have been being mean about me. It's hurting my feelings.
Oh, it's about time you got some of your own medicine. Yeah.
Stutchy. Stutchy was mean. I like you, Stutchy.
Well, on that note, our fans are fucking awesome.
Yeah, I do. I like you a lot, Stutchy.
Like, holy shit.
I know. So here's what happened, right? Stutchy actually took it upon himself, and I'm not suggesting everyone should do this. I mean, this is like above and beyond. Stutchy actually bought the Dark Souls 2, the podcast, us, a season pass to Dark Souls 2.
Yeah.
Like, just wow, man.
To us. Thanks so much. Really means a lot, Stutch.
Good on you, Stutchy.
I'm starting to think that the guy's just like really narcissistic and just always likes hearing his name called out. So he's like, fuck, what am I going to do this week to get called out on the podcast?
Anything to hear my own name.
But no, really, like, such a kind gesture. Yeah. Really awesome. And, you know, like, we try not to bomb you guys out with ads or anything like that. So that kind of stuff, just showing a bit of appreciation is awesome. But on that note, I suppose while I say that we're not bombing people out with ads, we do have the sidebar, just bring it to people's attention on our website, thedarksouls2.com, where you can buy, you know, a lot of different Dark Souls merchandise, Demon Souls, games, books, all the rest from an Amazon sidebar. You know.
Now, Dark Souls 1, you've been playing it again.
I have.
On the old Twitch-a-rooney. This Twitch thing, I've got to say, people were suggesting we do some Twitch, and I was like, hey, man, let's do a Twitch. And you were like, nah, man, I don't know about all this Twitch business. And now Twitch is like consuming your life.
No, this podcast consumes my life. Twitch is how I relax.
No, the Twitch consumes the rest of your life, like the leftover bits.
Sure. So, yeah, no, good fun. So, we've got our regular Power Play stream that we do together.
Yep.
I think we'll probably do a bit more tonight.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I started doing a Dark Souls 1 playthrough just simply because I got the hankering to play a bit of Dark Souls, and I thought, why the fuck not?
Yeah, people can watch or not watch, up to them. I think that's cool. Initially, I was kind of like, you know, well, who wants to watch you do that? But then I thought, if you're going to be playing it anyway... You might as well.
Yeah,
let
and the
watch.
Chat's been really active. You guys have been really fun. So thanks for coming out.
I even came along and watched the first one. It was good.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, it was entertaining. I liked it.
Yeah, you kept the chat entertaining as well. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I actually kind of like a more direct engagement with the people that listen to the thing. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, good fun. So if you think you might be interested in that kind of stuff, twitch.tv/thedarksouls2, hit the subscribe button. That way you'll get alerts when we go live. And if you want to catch up, we've been putting the show in much higher quality up on YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube.com/thedarksouls2. Now, moving along.
Moving along, yeah.
Announcements, PSA, so we're going in this week.
Well, the only real thing is pre-order the DLC if you haven't pre-ordered it already. It's on Steam.
Yep, $26.99 at the moment on the Steam store. It's the season pass, so it's not the first DLC. It'll include the first DLC when that comes out on the 22nd of this month, which is July. So not a bad bargain, I guess. $26, whatever. Done.
Cool. Now, do you want to do it? The Iron Keep? All right. So in the last episode, we killed Mitha, the Baneful Queen, who had a sexy body but no head. And we went up a huge elevator. And so... This is the thing with Dark Souls 2, right? So you're at ground level, you get into an elevator, go up, then you're at ground level.
Not only at ground level, you're on a level where there's overflowing lava.
Yeah.
So the lava's sunk to some sort of level. If it's this mystical island in the sky, then you would assume that there'd be masses of lava flowing over the edge and dripping down into the earth and peak below.
Yes.
Which just isn't happening.
And actually, it's funny, because in the guidebook, when it talks about the Iron Keep, it says high above the earthen peak.
You don't see an elevator coming out of any of those windmills.
Like, how is it actually? It's very strange.
So, look, people have tried to explain it away. I don't know if it's just people making excuses from. Who knows? I couldn't come up with anything that was compelling enough. So I think it's just one of those things where it just doesn't flow as nicely as Dark Souls 1.
I wouldn't be compelled to say it's a mistake or an oversight. I would just say that's just the way they've designed the world. It's not meant to be congruent.
Yeah, bit silly.
Yeah, I don't really like it, but, you know, whatever. Let's just hope for Bloodborne to be better.
So regardless, from the top of the elevator, we walked out onto a big iron bridge, and directly opposite the bridge was this enormous castle. And
yeah.
We mentioned straight away to look left and go down some stairs and you'll plop at the first bonfire.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say, geographical inconsistencies or no, that castle looks fucking cool. And there's the beginnings of the storyline start to play out when you look at it. It's sinking into a vast pit of lava. It's clearly a pretty volcanically active area because as you progress, you'll be able to look into the distance and see volcanoes spewing lava and everything. So obviously this area was pretty hot all along.
Yeah, you would assume so. So the Iron Keep is ruled over by the old Iron King, and mm-hmm. he had it made out of iron. He had this desire to make this impenetrable fortress where it's going to be made out of this really hard substance such as iron, but his desire for that made him outweigh his actual plans, and as such, the kingdom itself sunk into the lava.
Not the kingdom, just the castle. But that's just a rumor, man.
Is it?
Yeah, that ain't the facts.
Really?
Yeah, I'll let you know the facts as we progress. I got
okay,
the facts
this is
all
news
sorted.
To me. I wasn't aware of this. I thought that was pretty well established.
So, go across the bridge, and there's some weird shit going on with this bridge, because as you get to the other end of it, there's kind of like a tower on either end, like a thin tower that you couldn't really do anything with, and there's these statues sticking out the side of it, and they're all chained together.
Yeah, it does kind of look like somebody's tried to pull them over or something like that.
It's weird. Well, I don't understand why they're all
maybe they were starting
up.
To sink and bend in Leaning Tower of Pisa, and they tried to straighten them up.
I was thinking that, but the chains don't seem to attach to anything. There's a lot of chains in this area.
But
those chains, it's, I don't know. Man.
Consider any angle that you would be pulling on them from, you'd probably be in the middle
but
of the lava.
Here's what's interesting, though. If you look, some of the chains are stuck to the tower with swords. There's a sword pierced through the chain to hold it in place. It's just, I don't know, it's strange. I don't know what explains it, as they say in Dark Souls.
Now, before we progress into the tower, you've mentioned the bridge, and we've mentioned the kingdom, which was actually in the Alon.
I say Alon. It just seems to make more sense.
Yeah, the Alon Kingdom is where this all originated. So we're going to come across a number of enemies and whatnot referred to as the Alon Knights. That's because this kingdom was originally known as the Alon Kingdom. Alon. Fuck, I can't say that word.
You can't say Alon Kingdom.
Alon Kingdom.
There you go.
I want to say Alon Kingdom, which just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It's not
well, that's
cat.
Weird. I know these guys are like Japanese styles.
Yeah, they're really cool. So you encounter your first two at the end of the bridge, and it's quite easy to know how to not pull them both at the same time once you've figured it out. So to just stick down the left-hand column so that the first guy on the right is the first one to see you and you pull him by himself. But at first, I just kept pulling both of them. They were quite a hard fight.
Everyone here fights with a katana, and even when you later meet the Alon captains, they do some really interesting Iaido work, like really distinctively Japanese sword work, which I think is kind of cool. So, across the bridge, those two dudes, I think it's, like Taboo says, best to pull one then the other, and I generally pull them with ranged attacks, but when you first get to the area, that can be really tough, I think, to take on both at once.
Yeah, but they're quite susceptible to being poise broken
mm-hmm.
or staggered. So if you're not using any of the weaker end items, then it's not hard to, even with just a sword, hit them once or twice and stagger them. They are quite easy to avoid attacks. Just hold your shield up. They don't hit too hard as long as you got your shield up and just wait for your opportunities. Now, regardless, the Alon Knights, they were the knights of the old Iron King.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how they came about. And they're known for their loyalty, especially to the king. Once the kingdom actually started sinking, they held true to their positions and kept defending the castle regardless.
And I think that's why their armor is such high fire resist, right? I mean, it almost seems like they went and sought out high fire resist armor, started making high fire resist armor when the disaster happened. And we happen to know, actually, that when the disaster happened that made the castle sink into the ground, the king died. So they were just hanging out defending what? The castle? Just hanging out?
I guess so.
And so why would they need the high fire defense gear if there was no fire in that, at that stage?
I sort of wonder if maybe their armor just gradually became stronger and stronger to resisting fire, made out of iron as it got exposed to these heats and pressures over time.
Maybe. That sounds fucking weird to me. All right.
Just go with it.
All right. Yeah, that absolutely makes sense. That is precisely how metallurgy works.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Now, I want to talk a bit about the parallels between the Elon Knights and the Black Knights from Dark Souls 1, because there seems to be a few parallels drawn.
Yeah, it's interesting, hey?
So, it's been observed that the Elon Knights play the same death sound as the Dark Knights, which was the first sort of tip-off that a lot of people picked up on. When you kill them, they sort of play this fizzling out, like water getting poured on hot piece of metal kind of sound, and it's exactly the same as the Dark Knights from Dark Souls 1. Now, the Dark Knights in Dark Souls 1 were also servants of Gwyn, the god or king, for lack of a better word, for that area as well. They both got exposed to fire at some point throughout. Yes. It's interesting.
Yeah, when Gwyn kindled the flame.
Yeah, so the item description for the Black Knight helm, for example, from Dark Souls 1 is: the knights followed Lord Gwyn when he departed to link the flame, but they were burned to ashes in newly kindled fire, wandering the world as disembodied spirits after.
Right, and the item description for the Elon Knights from Dark Souls 2 says: the bonds of the Elon Knights, who served the old Iron King, were mightier than the land's iron, but in the end the knights were subsumed by the flames that brought the castle down.
So, they've got that parallel, as we've established, and I wonder, you know, is it possible that the old Iron King is not only the Prince of Alcan, as we were discussing last episode, but could he also be Gwyn reincarnate?
Well, we do know that he has a primordial soul, one of the great four primordial souls that you once speculated may have come from the land of Lordran through the Lord Vessel into the land of Dranglake.
Right. I don't know about that theory so much. It was fun at the time, but regardless, like, he does seem to have one of those old souls. And it's interesting. That was going to be the final point that I made. The item that you get from the old Iron King when you finally do kill him, which we'll be talking about more next week, is simply called the Old King's Soul. Whereas we know Gwyn was the king of the last one of the last kingdoms. So, you know, just that sort of ambiguous wording, the Old King's Soul. Could it be Gwyn's?
You know, the more we find or assume parallels between Dark Souls 1 and Dark Souls 2, the more I hope, even though I'm not confident, I hope that there are parallels between the different Souls games and Bloodborne.
Yeah. I mean, as you said, there's no reason it couldn't be in the same universe currently, but we'll just have to wait and see. Now, that's not where it ends, regardless. So, when you do kill the old Iron King and you do get his soul item, you can trade it for two items. One is the Blinding Bolt Miracle and one is the Dragon Slayer Great Bow. Now, that's interesting to me because the item description for the Blinding Bolt is crafted in ancient times by the god of sun, but later forbidden by the same deity. So we know that Gwyn used these lightning spears to peel the flesh of the dragons when they went to war with the dragons.
I think that's a colloquialism. He just shot them to death with it.
You actually see it in the
You just see them getting
cinematic.
Hit with lightning.
But they have... It explicitly says, used his lightning to peel their stone flesh.
Nah, it just says peel their scales or pierce their scales or something.
Stone flesh.
Oh, whatever. But the point is, it just means that the lightning was effective against the dragons.
Right. Regardless. Right. So we know that he went to war with the dragons and he went to war with his knights, the Black Knights, who were actually Silver Knights at the time, because this is before they got charred and burned.
Yes.
Now, the next part is the Dragon Slayer Great Bow. So what we know about the Dragon Slayer Great Bow is it was used by Hawkeye Goff, and Hawkeye Goff was one of Gwyn's special four knights. So again, we know that the Dragon Slayer Great Bow used by Gwyn, or at least very close knights,
Gwyn had access to it.
Why are you able to make it with the old Iron King's soul?
I think there's a lot of strong evidence that's what we're talking about. All right, continue. You got more stuff going on?
Well, I mean, that's pretty much the extent of it, but when you do get the soul item, the description is: this once magnificent soul continues to exert influence over the land, even after the eons have reduced it to these remnants.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm just...
That's not its original state. I think it's quite clear.
I think it's compelling that the old Iron King at least has Gwyn's soul. He might not be Gwyn himself,
but he has
the
soul.
He's definitely carrying
there's
the
an
soul.
Influence there. And that actually ties in with something we said in a previous podcast about the Sinner's Rise and the Lost Sinner, that there's evidence that the Lost Sinner carries the soul of the Witch of Izalith.
Strong evidence, yeah. And even more so when you get into New Game Plus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we hinted at that last time. I don't know if I want to spoil it. We have been focused on not spoiling things. So that's the sort of background with the Elon Knights. We did bypass over the fact that when you sit at the bonfire at the beginning of this level, right behind it, there's this item sort of teasing you. It's just there in reach, mere meters away. But if you try to get it, you immediately get all burned up.
Yeah. Become a black knight.
Yeah. It's actually on these sort of hot rocks, which, you know, just risen out of the lava, obviously. And if you stand on them for too long, you'll immediately die, which isn't long at all, actually. They do a lot of damage.
The timelines in that sentence were all fucked up. If you stand on them for too long, you'll immediately die. But it's not long at all.
God damn it. Fuck, I'm an idiot sometimes.
Nah, don't be so hard on yourself, mate. That's my job. Yeah, these things are all over the level, though.
Yeah, they're going to be a bit of a repeating theme. So I suppose we should cover how you deal with them.
Yeah, okay. So basically, I mean, it's pretty obvious. You just got to boost your fire resist as high as you bloody can and have heaps of bloody health.
Which kind of sucks because even if you got your fire resist ridiculously high.
Did you have a stroke just now?
If you've not got a certain amount of health, it just isn't going to matter. So it kind of precludes certain builds from being able to get these items, which I don't like.
Yeah, so like I'm mostly an intelligence build on my main, and even on the other character I play, I don't have much health. So I'm just not going
to
bother.
Yeah, I seem to remember looking at your stats for the first time, and you're like level 160, and you had 10 vigor. I cracked up.
I don't need vigor. I just shoot things with my spells, mate. It's fine.
So, on that note, have you been able to get these items?
No.
Okay. And to be honest, there's nothing hugely
There's necessary nothing
in the
unique.
First half.
Yeah.
In the second half, there's some cool pyros, I think, that you'll get. But regardless, we'll cover that next time. But that's not all. Okay, so you can pump your fire resist with armor.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, a lot of the best fire resist armor you're going to get throughout this level anyway.
You get the orange burr.
You can use orange burrs, yes.
Is it orange burr or red burr?
Orange burr. And the orange burrs help increase your fire defense.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy them from Rosabeth, who I don't think we've covered. We'll cover her in two episodes' time. She's the first statue that you come across when you first meet Benhart of Jugo. You can buy these orange burrs off her for 1,200 souls. She also sells the Flame Quartz Ring, which increases your fire defense as well for only 2,000 souls.
Yeah.
So these things are worth doing.
I don't like that, Rosabeth.
No?
No. I'll tell you why. So you meet her, right? You save her life. She's like, oh, I'm so in your debt. Ooh. And then she says, maybe I can repay you. You know, I'm quite the hand at pyromancy. Right? All right. You know? Then I fucking get into a fight with 8 of those bloody poison dudes and they're all swarming around me trying to kill me and she just stands there and watches. Quite a hand at pyromancy. I'm really in your debt. And if you get chopped to pieces in front of me, well, who cares?
Fuck you. Saved her. She was choking. She couldn't even stand.
She could have done something.
She'd been locked up as a stone, possibly thousands of years.
Sorry, but no. She didn't even offer him like calls of support. You'll be all right. You can do it. Nothing like that.
Now, on top of this, before you take step onto the flaming ground,
in Australia, people say flaming instead of fucking an awful lot.
Flame like hell. They actually don't. It's a stereotype that I think got dropped maybe 50 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. It's particularly like grumpy old men, but I don't think I've ever heard a person actually say it.
Not that wasn't except on bizarre, Home and Away.
Yeah, bizarre pastiches of real people. But anyway, before you step onto the flaming ground,
you want to take a healing gem of some sort. Stronger the better. The Elizabeth Mushrooms, I believe, are the best kind of healing item that heals you over time, because what you're trying to do is offset the damage that you're taking by increasing your health at the same time. And lastly, now this one's the one that actually helps possibly the most. There's pots throughout the level, like any other level where you can roll through jars and that kind of stuff. Some have poison in them and whatnot. These pots have water in them. And you may have rolled through them many times and not actually realized the importance or the significance. But if you roll through a pot or two and you walk away and you see that you're leaving watery footprints, this is good. This means you're coated in water. So that helps with your fire defense as well.
Mm-hmm.
So my strong suggestion is high fire defense gear. Take a healing wear of some sort, Elizabeth Mushroom or Stone Gem.
Have as much health as possible.
Yes, and roll through some pots. Now, when you do roll through the pots, you'll find that you leave watery footprints for quite some time. So if you're not seeing them for a while and then you see them a bit later on and you're like, oh, I wonder if I'll be able to roll through them now and then run all the way back, probably you can.
Okay, that's cool. And there's another one of those, actually, that we missed from the bonfire. On the right, there's a crack in the balustrade on the side of the bridge. You can go to the end. Again, I didn't feel like it was particularly worth the investment of time you'd have to put in. It's a bonfire aesthetic. I'm going to ruin it for you.
We've brought it up before, though, haven't we? That the bonfire aesthetics tend to be in the hardest to reach places. Yeah, it's like, and they congratulations make the game harder. On pulling on this bullshit thing have a reward by being able to make the game harder.
There's actually, I think bonfire aesthetics are really valuable in the sense that if you want to farm for a particular item, there's an area later where they get, you get petrified dragon bones from the enemies, and if you want as many of them as possible to max out your boss soul weapons, you just use the bonfire aesthetic to keep farming those guys.
Sure, sure. But still, it's just a sweet justice, isn't it, that you put in all this effort and finally pull something off and you're like, shit, yeah, I wonder what I get. Oh, it's an item.
Oh, I get misery.
It's more difficult.
Well, you're supposed to seek misery. But anyway, so kill those two Elon Knights and go in through the door and you find more Elon Knights.
Surprise, surprise. And in this room is this fire-breathing sort of bullhead against the wall, which you'll come across quite a few of these throughout the area.
But this one has an item underneath, and the item's actually a key. But there's really no point going for it right now. What I did on my first playthrough is I didn't realize I'd ever be able to turn that fire off, which you can later. So I just suicided to get it.
Yeah, and I did as well. And there's no harm in doing that. You're not too far from the bonfire. You do get burned
to death, but there's no harm in it.
Wow. You'll come back. It's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
So you can get it at this point. It's not necessary because the key that you get is the iron key. And despite its description, key to the iron door in the iron keep, it's not used in the Iron Keep.
It's a weird one. That's weird.
Yeah. So this key you actually use in the Valley of the Fallen Giants of all places.
Yeah. And that's strange because, as I understand,
fuck me, it's the Forest of the Fallen Giants.
Sorry.
Carry on.
The Forest of Fallen Giants. I've always screwed that up as well. I think it's your fault.
It's a meme now. It's just become a part of our culture.
Yep.
Carry on.
Soul of a lost undead. Anyway.
Oh, sweeter times.
It's a strange one because I always thought that the fortress in the Valley of Fallen Giants, the Forest of Fallen Giants, was created by Vendrick. You know, it talks about the knights that served Vendrick that lived at the... And obviously we know that Vendrick went across the sea to get some power from the giants, and then the giants attacked the kingdom. So that's all Vendrick town, but there's a door in Vendrick's area that's opened by a key that's held by the
Old Iron King.
But they're not the same person.
Very weird. It's again one of those things where I just wonder if it was possibly a rush to kind of get the game out last minute, do whatever you can to make it work and not tie up all the loose ends kind of a deal.
But I also wonder if there's something deeper there, because sometimes you think like it's all disjointed and weird, and then you think about it for a while and you're like, hot damn, that is weird. That's some deep shit.
But, I mean, the item description is so explicit. Key to the iron door in the iron keep. So I suppose we should explain what we're talking about anyway. This is a door that you passed right out the front of the last giant fight that we did all those episodes ago.
Yeah.
So as you go down to the last giant, you walk up a corridor and some rock, and there's this door on the left, which we said at the time that you can't enter it at this point. We'll come back to it later. So weird.
So, what's in there?
In that room?
Yeah.
All right, fuck it. I was wondering when we were going to bring it up, but now would probably be the perfect time.
Yeah, why not?
We've already got a slightly shorter episode, so let's squeeze it in.
I bet you said that to all the boys.
As the words were coming out of my mouth, I realized the mistake. So the best bet would probably be to do.
All our retarded laughs must be removed from the recording. Continue.
It would probably be to quick travel to the Cardinal Tower bonfire.
That's right, yes.
And from there, you would go down the hall.
Yes.
And head towards the... Fuck your face.
I think it's that to all the boys.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, but it's back to all the boys also.
Composure.
Oh, Jesus.
Go through the tunnel towards the last giant fight.
Yep.
And halfway up is a little dude guarding a door. Use the key on the door and you end up in the salamander pit.
Oh, so that's the pit you can see from above.
Well, not precisely. You end up below that, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yep. So in here, you're on the level that's directly behind the salamander that spits at you when you get to pick up the fire sword.
So very early on, we talked about how you can go down a tunnel. There's a salamander shooting fireballs at you. To your left is a cage door. Go inside. There's the chest with the fire sword in it.
Correct.
So we're talking about that salamander.
Yep. And this entire area is sort of behind that salamander. Incidentally, you can kill that salamander. I think we discussed it by ranging it. It's a bit hard because you can be a pain in the ass, but you can do it.
But you can't get over the 1-foot ledge.
You can. It's very hard. I've done it.
Oh, you jump.
You've got to jump, but you've got to jump in the perfect sort of, you got to hit the pixels basically.
And oh, that's interesting. It does
sort of let you sort of hover over it and you get in. So it can be done. I've done it, but look, now you've got the key, it's not necessary. So you take the key to the door, you go in the back way, you take
out. That's all the boys.
I believe 2 salamander on this level.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to behind that salamander that was spitting at you, and you get to pick up the Rebel's Great Shield at this point.
Oh, that's I actually remember that one. That's an interesting one. It's unique in the sense that its defense to everything is awesome. So it's got 90 defense to all things.
Across the board, except physical.
Yes. So physical 70, which is shit. Like, if there was a buckler, like a tiny little shield that weighs 1 kilogram that did 70 defense, I'd just sell it to Gavlan. I got no interest in that. 70 is crap.
Right.
But 90 defense and everything is awesome. Plus, if you infuse it with the power of an element, so say you give it poison defense, it'll go up to 100. 100% poison defense.
Or, in this case, you actually get to pick up a Fire Drake stone in this area. I'll point that out in a second, exactly where to get it. So, yeah, I mean, you could enchant this with 100% mm-hmm. fire resist, and that'd be helpful for the area that we're covering at the moment, the Iron Keep. So once you sort of clear this pit, incidentally, those salamanders, good God, they are damage sponges. Like,
yeah, they've got heaps of health.
Yep. And they can be quite a pain to kill because they've got some range spells, they move quick. So your best deal would probably be to take them on at range with spells or arrows.
In that sense, they're similar to every other enemy in this game.
Okay, rub it in. But no, these guys particularly are difficult just because of the amount of damage they can take. Okay, so from this level, you can go up a sort of tunnel with a upward sloping ramp.
Okay, yes, one of those, hey?
Yes. And you get to the level above. Now, this is the area that you can actually drop down to and see from the hole below the Cardinal Tower's bonfire. And yeah, if you've got a full dampening ring or something like that, you can actually drop from above down here if you choose your right location. Again, there's some tricks to it. It's not easy. You want to look up a video if you're going to try it. So you're on this level. And, well, what I can tell you about this is there's holes in the grounds with, like, fire spewing up out of them. And this fire is actually caused by the salamanders. There's 4, I believe, in the area. And once you take all 4 out, the fire disappears.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, interesting touch. Mm. Yep. And you get to pick up the Flame Quartz Ring +1.
Yeah, and that's pretty decent. 80 fire defense increase. Not 80%, but 80 points of fire defense increase, which is pretty decent.
Yeah, we're talking about buying the normal one off Rosabeth.
Rosabeth.
So if you want to save some souls, then you can probably come here and grab this one, which is going to do more fire resist anyway.
Yeah, and they don't stack as well.
They don't.
One time I equipped a +1 ring and a normal ring, and it said when I equipped a normal ring, a message came up to the effect that it was invalidated by the ring I already had on. So wow. I just sold it to Gavlan.
Never seen that. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, so I just everything I have that isn't as best as it can be, just sell it to Gavlan. Get rid of it.
So also up the top of this tunnel is the Fire Drake Stone that we mentioned earlier. So I believe that's pretty well it for the area.
Yeah, I think that might be the whole area.
I might just quickly look up the Flame Salamanders in the guidebook and see if there's anything of note. These mysterious creatures serve an unknown purpose, but they are locked within the soldier's fort behind a door older than the kingdoms of Dranglake itself. Their fiery presence seems to alter the very environment itself. So, yeah, pretty much pointing out what I was saying about those flame pillars disappearing when you kill them all.
So there you go. That closes the loop. The door is older than Dranglake. Vendrick didn't build it.
Hmm. Very interesting. But why would there just be a random door, like, with a kingdom that gets built around it, or a fort that gets built around it?
Well, there's access from the area where those Dranglake soldiers were hanging out. They can see the salamander, probably get shot at by them. So they knew the area was there. Maybe, I don't know, it's a strange one.
Hmm.
And it's not like that's where Vendrick has his castle. That's just in the area where they fought the giants.
Maybe they were just cheap. And when they built the fort, they were like, could really go for some ducted heating and conditioning. Oh, look, we'll just build around the flame salamander pit. You know, they'll keep us warm. They'll be our furnace.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I think so. That's definitely it. Okay.
So we may have mentioned that there are 2 exits from this room. One's up a staircase and one is to the right of the door that you entered. We're going to go to the right, which leads down a corridor to a kind of weird viewing area.
Yeah, it's not weird. It's awesome. I really liked it. It was so visual.
It's like a conservatory or something.
Yeah. So you enter into this room and there's...
Wait, what's a conservatory?
I don't know. I was just going to go with it.
Because I always, you know, Mr. Jones with the fucking axe handle in the conservatory. But what's a conservatory?
I used to think an amphitheater had something to do with aquariums. And so whenever I see this, I think of an aquarium because it's got that like glass paneling, like when you go into aqua or underwater world.
What's a cathedral with an amphitheater?
I don't know. I just used to think amphitheaters were like aquariums.
I think it's amphitheater, not amphitheater.
That might have been why I thought it. Amphibians.
Oh, that's fucking stupid. Anyway, I continue. It is.
Yeah, you know, you're right. Yeah, so in this room, if you do actually go up to the windows anyway, you can see like this vast landscape of the lava all around the area. And what's cool is you can actually see the arena that you're going to take the Old Iron King on much later
down
in the
bottom.
So what I've actually just noticed is that the merchant that we're about to meet,
Magarold,
he must actually be able to watch your final fight with the Old Iron King from where he's sitting.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he's sitting down and not really looking down. So unless he happens to get up and stroll down there and go like, oh, wow.
I think you'd kind of notice a fucking 20-foot-tall Balrog coming out of the lava and causing waves and shit. So, shall we talk about Magarold?
Who, me? I'm Magarold. Who else?
Have a look at my wares. I'm mainly a treasure hunter, you see. Many a merchant on the side. I roam about looking for a find, following me instincts. I don't care what a thing's worth. What matters is whether it grabs me.
Yeah, so Magarold is a very unique kind of merchant. So firstly, he sells you a bunch of stuff. He sells you some spells and he sells you some items. But really uniquely, when you've been picking up simpleton spices and skeptic spices and have had this promise that you'll be able to use them to reduce the intelligence or faith requirement of different spells, he's the guy that can do that for you.
Yeah, he's got an ability to incense. So you talk to him and you go to the incense menu. And basically, we've covered it before, so we won't go into detail, but all those skeptics and simpleton spices you've been finding along the way, you can use them here to lower the requirements for each spell. What do you think of Magarold?
I don't know, he seems kind of cool. I don't like his monocle very much, but you know.
I like him. I really like him. Oh. I don't know why. He's got this sort of go-lucky sincerity to him that none of the other characters kind of have. Like, he's fun.
He's a down-to-earth kind of guy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some people suggest that there might be more to him as well. He describes himself as an explorer, I guess, of sorts. He sort of goes around finding trinkets and things that catch his eye. He seems less soul-hungry than the others. Like, he's not out to make a buck. He's more out to find things that interest him.
And actually, one thing I did notice about Magarold is that when you depart from Magarold without buying anything, he doesn't take a snipe at you.
Yeah.
Like, you'll notice that Melintia, she says, lowly times these are. And what's his name? Lenegras. Lenegras says...
Oh, he's the worst.
Lenegras says, don't waste my time.
Yes.
But this guy, I can't recall what he says, but it's just kind of like, okay, well, cheerio, old chap. You know, he doesn't give a damn.
Yeah, I love him. I love him. I actually really like this character.
He sells some interesting stuff, doesn't he, that guy? Sells the Jester's set, which is one of the most unique sets in the game.
Yeah, each item has a unique ability.
I mean, often you'll see a set where all the items do the same thing. Like on my main, I've been wearing these like gold dragon cuffs and leggings or gold something or other, which decrease my casting time.
Yeah,
they, all the great. Set does the same thing. Whereas this one, each item does a different thing.
Yeah, and as a whole, like each one's pretty cool. And they're cheap as well. You know, you're not going to be blasting a ton of souls to get them. Like, kill a couple of Elon Knights and you'll be able to buy the whole thing. So I guess on that note, the cap, it raises item discovery. The robes nullify foes' critical hits is how it's described. Now, that one's an interesting one. I tried to do some tests, but it didn't really happen because I relied on other people in PvP to invade me and do certain things. And, you know, it's just a imperfect animal. And then you turned up and we had to record this thing. So I didn't get to keep testing. But the reason I wanted to test is because I went onto the wiki pages and I did some research and I tried to figure it out and I haven't got a definitive answer. So if I do find one out or if you guys can help us out here, let us know. But basically it says nullifies foes critical hits. Apparently in this game, backstabbing is the only thing considered a critical hit. Riposts and guard breaking attacks aren't considered critical, so they don't matter. All this affects is backstabbing. Now,
well, that's a matter of contention for one thing. We can't seem to find a consensus online about that even. Some people disagree.
Yes.
But also, we can't seem to agree about what, we can't find agreement about what it means to not suffer critical damage. Some people are saying, hypothetically, that if you suffer 100 points of normal damage plus 40 points of crit damage, then what this item is protecting you from is the 40 points of crit. Yes. Other people say it's protecting you from 140 points of damage, the whole thing.
Yeah, which, I mean, that kind of suggests nullifies critical hits. It's a hit. It's the whole thing.
Yeah, like, but only so part of it is just, the crit bit. It's
weird. So, yeah, let us know if you guys know more about it. I'm going to try and continue my tests, but, yeah, it relies on somebody that's going to cooperate and actually backstab and all the rest.
He's mad scientist.
The gloves increase the number of souls you acquire. Awesome for this area. Chuck them on, do a bit of farming. You'll be able to rack up a ton of souls very quick. And the tights reduce falling damage. So, you know, nice to have this if you don't want to apply the
Silver Cat Ring?
Yep, or the Fall Control spell, which, incidentally, you can also buy from Magarold. So, what some people might not realize, though, is Magarold's a Covenant leader.
Yeah, the Dragon Remnants Covenant.
Yeah, so Dragon Bros for this game. But to join the Covenant and even get the menu to even discuss it, you have to have gone much later in the game and got a special item.
Yeah, the Petrified Egg.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, Magarold sells some interesting spells and some hexes. He sells Darkstorm, which is interesting. You know, he sells some like...
Well, do you want to touch on Darkstorm for a moment?
Yeah, I'm interested in Darkstorm.
Yeah.
Mostly because of the item description. So Darkstorm says, an esoteric spell created by Navlan, the infamous exiled sorcerer, creates a local vortex of dark flame. The heretic Navlan was executed along with his entire village, and the mere utterance of his name became a crime. Sorry, I hope nobody arrests me. Some say it was because he sought to restore the banned art of resurrection. Now, you think that's relevant because maybe later we run into Navlan.
I'm trying to avoid spoilers. I wrote maybe later. We run into Navlan later.
But I think it's relevant for more reasons than that.
Maybe.
And it's not a deep lore element, but...
Well, just a sec. Let's just enforce why we think it's relevant. That item description, Navlan was executed along with his entire village, but... It also says that he was the guy that sought to restore the banned arts of resurrection. It's got to be relevant.
Yeah.
It clearly states that he got killed and he's not dead.
Why did they kill him for resurrection? Why is that banned? Why does it cut? Why would they go to such horrifically, like it's a war crime. Every person in his whole village, people never probably met him before, killed and slaughtered en masse and buried in a mass grave probably because he was interested in resurrection. Why?
I don't know.
Because people fear the curse, and the curse is nothing other than resurrection. That's why. Because this is a world where coming back from the dead is the most horrible thing that can happen to you. That's why they killed him.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, hey?
Yeah, I like it. I really like it. We'll obviously cover a lot more with Navlan much later in the game.
That Magarold, though, he also says some mean stuff about my mate Ben Harder Jugo, who's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, not me. Didn't really grip me.
Oh, Ben Hart. Like him. Ben Hart's awesome.
He's not really saying anything about him. I thought he went about it very tactfully.
Yeah, actually, and it's funny because the way he does it is kind of like he really wants to be a good guy. But he basically said, actually, here's a quote. You know that odd fellow with the hulking blue sword? He talks really highly of it, but I've got a feeling it's a fake. And then he says, you know, something along the lines of, I didn't have the heart to bring it up, so I just avoided the topic.
Yeah.
What a nice guy.
Yeah.
But shut up. That's a real ancient sword.
Is it?
Ben Hart told me.
Nah.
You don't reckon?
Nah.
Have you confirmed that?
Oh, yeah.
But I love you, Ben Hart.
And Ben Hart loves his sword and it's fought valiantly for him. It's just not the sword he thinks it is. Now.
I once had that sword.
We mentioned Magarold sells the Jester's set. I think that's relevant.
Yeah. We summoned Jester Thomas to fight with Mitha the Baneful Queen. And it just so happens nearby, there's a guy sitting around carrying a bunch of jester gear.
Yeah, and the item description for the jester gear is a boldly coloured jester's hat. A nice bit of fun to try on. Jesters are more than festival fixtures. Some have a second face hidden from public view. So it's kind of alluding to the fact that, you know, once you put the jester's mask on, nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
And Jester Thomas, we don't know who he is. But Magarold does describe himself as a bit of a... out there kind of a guy.
Yeah, I mean, he says that he's mainly a treasure hunter and only a merchant on the side. So he's obviously moving around and he's a mover and a shaker.
He's nearby to the fight.
Yeah.
He sells the Jester's set. You can't see Jester Thomas's face.
Yeah. And here's what's interesting. I hypothesized last time that perhaps Jester Thomas was sent by the king to kill this mad snake woman who was once like banging, but now he's lost interest because she's turned into a crazy snake woman. And now there's a nearby king who seems to have this fellow with the jester's gear just hanging out in his castle, which suggests maybe that the king and the jester were actually...
a bit of a tacit endorsement for Magarold.
Magarold also sells, this is another interesting point, he sells the wood carvings you can throw on the ground to say hello and thank you and all that weird shit that... When that first happened, it's weird. I was playing along and someone throws that on the ground and I heard this weird noise and I was like, what the fuck was that? And that was all of it. He was trying to talk to me, but I didn't know that. I just thought the game was making
everyone does. Noises. So what it is the wood carving items. There's four different kinds. Mm-hmm. I think we've been through them all now except for...
Oh.
I'm sorry. Yeah, and once you buy them, you can use them infinitely. So it's not like a once-use type deal and you can use them to communicate in PvP and whatnot.
Now, kind of the... Cool. Item description says no one knows the name of the artist.
I do.
Yeah.
It's Hawkeye Goff.
Another hint. Another hint tying Lord Gwyn to the old king. Anyway, that's enough about Magarold. Like, we've gone on and on about that guy.
Yeah, look, there's so much to it.
All right, let's move along. So, go back up the hallway, and there's some stairs on your right. At the top, very top of the stairs, there's an angry Elon Knight.
Yeah, and you can go around to the left from the top of the stairs, and you can pick up an item overhanging a balcony.
Which is a Ferris Lockstone, I believe.
Yep, and from the right of the stairs, dun-dun-dun, illusionary wall. Open this wall, enter into a room, and you've got a room with a ballista. Very, very small room. I'd say, 3 by 3 meter?
Yeah, here's a question. How did they get the ballista into that room?
Maybe they assembled it in there.
Why?
Because if you look at the ballista pointing at the wall, and you sort of wonder to yourself, why the fuck would there be a ballista in here pointing at a wall? Go up to the wall that it was pointing at, another illusory wall.
You can also open the wall by shooting the ballista at it.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
I tried it.
I tried it too, and the wall opened.
Are you a wizard, Harry?
That's not even how the quote goes.
You're a wizard, Harry.
You're a wizard, Harry. Well, maybe I'm wrong. First time for everything, but I actually think that that's what happens. But anyway, like, if you're going to make it obvious that there's an illusory wall there by having a ballista there, why make an illusionary fucking wall? And the illusionary wall isn't big enough to fit the fucking ballista in. And even
maybe
if
they assembled it in the room. Done.
But okay, on. But why?
So, you can open the illusory wall and but you use can't it use... to skewer the Elon Knight on the
but
other side.
But they work there. How do you sell that to the workers? We're going to put this here so later one of you can get skewered in the back.
We are so negative about this area and it's one of my favorites.
It's a cool area. I like it. But it just doesn't make no sense.
It's all coming
you know,
out.
I noticed something in the servants' quarters in the Lost Bastille recently as well. There's a couple of wagons in there. They're
How the
huge.
How did they get in there?
How did they get in there? And why? What's going on?
All right, moving on. So open the illusory wall, use the ballista to take out one of the Elon Knights in the next room if you'd like.
Pow, pow.
Enter into the room, large room, exit on the right, take on another two Elon Knights there, done and dusted. What did you want to say?
I was going to say you can also backstab that dude, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, I think that's a better way of doing it, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. Just poured beer on myself, but whatever.
Okay, so... As you exit this room, you enter into the more inner expanse of the keep.
Yeah, this is where it starts to look really cool. So there's a walkway on your left, but as you walk along there, you'll notice some asshole starts shooting at you. And those arrows they shoot do a significant amount of damage. So I always get into a binoculars range fight with that guy.
Yes. So I'd highly suggest walking into this area and immediately taking that guy out. If you need to use bows, whatever, some sort of a range, get him done.
Just use spells, bro. So along the walkway on your left, and you'll encounter an Elon Knight ahead of you. As soon as you get within a reasonable range, he's going to charge you anyway.
So this is where it's going to be advantageous to not worry about big-ass bolts coming at your back.
Yeah, I agree. So murder that guy. Sometimes I found another guy aggros there who comes up a staircase from below.
Sometimes, yeah.
Not always, but sometimes. It's a bit inconsistent.
So you keep going along the walkway, and there is a couple of small stairs on the right, which leads down to the boiler room area. We're just going to avoid that for the moment. Go to the end of the walkway. And what you've got is three levels, ground level, second level that we're on, and third level. Now, there's a ladder that goes between all three. However, it doesn't stop at the second level, so you can't get on or off it.
You can only access it from the bottom, so you've got to jump down.
Yeah.
And you don't take much damage. I mean, who cares?
So, regardless, when you drop down, you get to pick up a repair powder off a corpse.
Yeah, and repair powder, you know, I thought it was useless, but actually, I'm finding it really valuable in my second playthrough.
Yeah, you're obviously less of like a strong weapon kind of a build.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, go up the ladder at this point, and you get to go up to the third level where there's one of the other archers, and this guy has a clear view along the walkway and always manages to miss you anyway.
So. Yeah, I know. And I've actually found if you want to target these guys with spells or whatever, they just shoot off into the distance when you're fighting with them. They just don't even fucking bother. It's like suicide by cop or something. They want to die.
What do you get in the chest up this level, Church?
You get the life ring plus one and twinkling titanite. Now, you should already have a life ring. The life ring plus one, this increases your HP by 7.5%.
So, meh.
The life ring that's not plus one must just do fuck all of anything.
Yeah, like 5%. It's bugger all. It's not worth it. So, drop back down to the middle walkway. And this time we are going to go down those little stairs on the left. And
Are we?
Yeah, we are. And you can see there's those sort of steam lines that come off the door.
Steam lines?
Yeah, like stink lines in comics.
Oh. Whenever I saw Spider-Man activating his Spidey sense.
Can you stop fucking getting off topic? Go on.
No, listen. Spider-Man would be like hanging out or doing some shit, climbing on a building, and then he'd activate his Spidey sense. Like his Spidey sense would tingle. And all these lines would come off his head that were wiggly. And I always thought, his head must fucking stink. Right? Because it just looks like smelly shit in a comic book.
Yeah, it's good Wi-Fi reception. Can be a Spidey.
Like, he's really hot. Like, oh God, my head's really hot all of a sudden. Someone's about to attack me. Yeah, you're weird, Spider-Man. Anyway.
So, that's a warning. Don't open this door. If you do, you're going to freaking know about it.
And also, isn't there a little porthole in the door? You can see some fire inside. Yeah. So fire will billow out and kill you. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already dead.
But right next to the door is a lever. If you didn't kill that first archer, then he's going to be a pain in the ass with this one. But pull the lever and that lowers this side of a bridge in the middle of the room.
Yeah, it doesn't lower it all the way.
No. This side of the bridge.
Well, it's not about sides. It just lowers it and then it kind of stops a couple of feet above.
What?
Yeah.
You're wrong.
No, I'm not.
Fucking hell, Church, you're wrong.
I'm fucking not. Have you played the level? It's one fucking bridge.
One side, the other side.
Fucking bridge. So it's
lowers one side.
Oh, I never thought of it that
way. When you get to the other
side,
you lower the other side.
All right. Yeah, no, I suppose you're right.
Are we going to leave that in?
No, look, I'd rather you didn't, but I'm sure you will. All right, so now that we've lowered this side of the bridge, you can actually still use it, even though it's not all the way down.
Yeah, so basically you run all the way across the bridge and you jump off the other end and you get to a platform.
Yes.
And on the left, you encounter your first Alon Knight captain.
Yeah, and these are the guys I was talking about before that do this Iaido type sword work. So they keep the sword sheathed until they're ready to fight with it.
Mm.
And as soon as they've done their strike, they generally do what's called a chibiri, where they clean the blood off the sword and they put it straight back.
Very cool.
And they find their range again and they kind of size you up and pull it out again to cut you. It's fucking awesome. Mm. It's a genuine, like, actual sword thing called Iaido. It's a real thing.
Is it the same as the Iaito that you get in the previous game?
Well, that's Iaito. To is the word for blade in Japanese.
Okay.
Do is the word for way. So refers, I believe, to single cuts. So Iaito, I imagine, is a blade for doing individual cuts from drawing the blade, whereas Iaido is the art of drawing a blade and cutting in one motion.
Super cool. And I don't know if we touched on it, but the Alon Knights do drop the black steel katana. So it's the first katana you might be able to get in this game if you're into that kind of stuff.
I've never actually used a katana in these games, but I wonder, are they decent?
I played with it. The Uchi katana was like one of the number one PvP weapons
like
in the
huge,
previous
isn't it?
No, that's the washing pole. The Uchi katana was just a normal everyday katana in the last game. And yeah, it was just super popular for PvP. It was really quick, did reasonable damage, but people used it with lightning enchants because it staggered people significantly in PvP.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, these guys, it's all in the title. There's not much more to add to them. They're just simply the captains of the Alon Knight army.
Mm-hmm.
They are a little larger, and they drop slightly cooler armor.
And they drop the Alon Great Bow.
Yeah.
I think it's the first great bow you encounter in this game, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So I suppose we should probably touch on the difference.
Yeah, so a great bow takes much longer to draw. You can only shoot great arrows, which are much rarer than normal arrows.
Yeah, or cost a bit more to buy.
Yes.
They do a lot more staggering when you get hit with them, though. They're inclined to knock people off ledges and stuff, so they're kind of cool to like wait for somebody to run across a bridge and knock them off halfway through. And
yeah, see, I like that kind of cheeky shit.
Yeah.
Also, you get some early on, you get some destructive great arrows in this area, actually, so that's handy.
Okay, very cool.
Yeah, and you can't move while aiming them. Now, I don't use a bow. I use a crossbow if I'm going to shoot arrows. Can you move while aiming a bow?
It's incredibly slow, but somewhat. I mean, okay. Little benefit, but it's just the minor details.
Yeah.
Now, where this guy is standing, he's in front of a fog gate, which is the entry to the boss for this first half of the area.
Yeah.
We're going to come to that in a bit. If you do an about turn at this point, then walk up the little walkway away from the fog gate, then you can jump a gap and you'll get to the other side and there's a chest.
Yeah. So inside the chest, there is a Zweihander.
Oh, yeah. The legend never dies. So, incidentally, the first most popular PvP weapon in Dark Souls 1. So, the Zweihander, very cool, ultra great sword, super long, super damaging, super heavy, super cool. I said that already, but it's super cool.
So, yeah, you love the Zweihander.
Yeah, it's just an ultra great sword, so it's good for staggering, good for normal damage.
It's not the biggest of the ultra great swords.
Oh, God, no.
So, I don't know why people going on about just it being cool super moveset. Big.
I don't think it's nearly as good in this game.
Hmm. I've got one. I've been playing around with it. I didn't in Dark Souls.
I've got one. I've been playing around with it too, yeah, but I only do that in private.
Oh, wonderful. Well, that's not what your criminal history says, but we won't go into that.
Valley of the Fallen Giants.
On the bus.
Anyway, right.
It's really big. It's a Zweihander.
Two hands. Right. So, from here, you can actually jump off this ledge to a little
balcony type area?
Yeah, it's a little room with a bit of a ledge sticking out front of it.
Yep, a balcony.
Now, you get arguably one of the most important items in the game at this point.
That's right, the Dull Ember. Now, the Dull Ember is what allows you to use Steady Hand Macduff in the Lost Bastille to infuse your weapons with elemental power.
Yeah, and kind of less cool. I liked in the last game that you had to find each ember for each enchant. It was nice. Whereas this time, once you get the Dull Ember, go talk to Macduff. He claims that he can smell the flame on you and gets all excited.
Yeah, and he's his characteristic dick to you, isn't he? He says, hand it over now, you imbecile.
Yeah, well, you are.
That was very clever. Let Macduff make your jokes for you. That's clever. You should be real proud of yourself. No, but that Macduff's a fucking dick. Yeah, so one thing about the Dull Ember as well is it talks in the item description about how the flame seems nearly exhausted but exhibits an eerie resilience. Perhaps this is its ordinary state. And so early on in my first playthrough, when I got this ember, what I thought was we're going to see embers that are not dull, that still have that
life left in them.
Yeah, like in the previous game where there were multiple embers. But no, it seems the Dull Ember is the only ember in the entire game.
It is, but that item description, you obviously just brushed over it then. An ember radiating a dull light. This flame seems nearly exhausted, but exhibits an eerie resilience. Perhaps this is its ordinary state. A lot of people are latching on to that description. It kind of has a nice parallel to the previous game with the flame going out and just twinkling and staying alive. A lot of people are saying that this ember actually describes the world at the moment. Like, it's just holding on by its last threads.
Really?
Yeah.
I never, I think a lot about the lore. I read a lot of stuff. I haven't read anything about this ember, I must confess. But, I never drew that conclusion, or that connection. So
it exhibits an eerie resilience. I mean, is it getting its flame from the last generation, or?
I don't know. Is it getting its flame from anywhere? They do mention that the resilience is eerie and therefore a bit strange. But like they say, maybe this is just its natural state. Maybe this is just the way that stone is.
Mm. Okay. So. From here, you go into the little room that the balcony is attached to.
Yep.
And you go up a ladder, and there's another archer, and this time there's a Ferris contraption.
Yeah, a relatively useless one to my mind. You can use it to generate a pool of healing water. You could also use a life gem.
So, I mean, useful for pre-boss runs, but, I mean, why waste it?
Hmm. Okay, so now we're going to handle the boiler room, which is the area where there was that flaming door, where if you open it, you're going to get consumed by flame.
Yeah, so to get to it, you got to drop down from where you have the Faris contraption down to the chest where the Zweihand was, jump the gap, and on the other side, you can get across to some scaffolding. Now, before you do, there's some pillars, and you can see a corpse hanging off a pillar, and this jump is rather hard to stick as well, because the area that you have to land on isn't large. But when you do, you get possibly the most useless item in the game.
Red leech troaches.
So why is it so useless, Church?
The item is useless for two reasons. Firstly, what it does is it increases your bleed defense by 20% for 90 seconds. So firstly, not an awfully long time. But secondly, bleed is just inconsequential in this game.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we don't need to spend time with
this. Yeah, we already talked about it. I'm ashamed of you, bleed.
So from here, you drop down to a level that's adjacent to the boiler room. And there's another lever here, which you can use to lower this side of the bridge. And that's really only an advantage if you need to sort of backtrack back to a bonfire or something like that. You can also, from that level, drop down to some stairs. And at the bottom of the stairs is another one of those lava sort of...
Yeah, where you can walk on the hot rocks. Some people go and pay a lot of money on a Kentucky tour to walk on hot stones and shit.
Yeah, some people are mad.
Yep.
So, in this chest, at the end of the hot rocks, you get a Phoenix Palmer.
Yeah, so actually a useful item. The narrative's interesting. A small shield decorated with a phoenix. The sea of flame that swallowed the Iron Keep took this shield as well. But when it was retrieved, it was mysteriously unscathed, save a degree of discoloration.
I like that description, though. The Phoenix Palmer, and it's like coming out of the flame. It's on this hot location, and it's rising from these embers relatively unscathed.
Yeah.
Love it. See, this is a perfect example of an item where you want it to be found. They've done a good job.
Yeah, I agree. That is quite well done, I must say.
Now, if you are struggling to get it, because the little run up to it can take quite a bit of health, you can go up to that little ledge that we're talking about where you got the troach and drop down from there and you land directly in front of the chest, but you'd want to use some fall damage arresters.
Yeah. Now, at the top of the stairs, there's a panel on the boiler room wall with a round safety hatch type mechanism. So you turn that and you'll notice that the fire in the boiler room will go out.
Yeah, and to confirm it, those little stink lines have disappeared from the doors.
Yes, and also the sound of the fire burning goes away.
Yeah.
So now you can go to the rear door of the boiler room and go inside. Mysteriously, the ground is cool enough to walk on. there's a large titanite shard and, importantly, a petrified dragon bone on a corpse in here. Now, have we encountered these before, petrified dragon bones?
No, I don't think so. But this is the first one. You did mention them earlier. That
sure.
They are incredibly rare and they're used entirely for leveling up boss weapons.
Yes, so the weapons that you get for trading boss souls in can only be upgraded with a petrified dragon bone.
And it takes 15 to fully level them.
Yes. And that's, I've got to say, I've never used one on any character.
Boss weapon or?
No, petrified dragonbone.
But you mustn't be using boss weapons then.
No, I am. I just don't. I always feel the need to save it. Like, I'm always kind of like, oh, I'll use it on the next one. I'm only going to get a select few. I should save them for when I'm absolutely sure. Fucking stupid.
Yeah, I know. You are.
Thanks.
So, you get to make a decision at this point. Do I skip the smelter demon boss?
I don't. I never do. I kill him every bloody time.
Of course. But you have the option.
You can go around the back, yes.
So from the boiler room, there's a ladder. And it goes up to a bridge. And on the bridge is a captain. And at the end of the bridge is another large ladder. Incidentally, interestingly, there's two little sort of clay chimneys on either side of the bridge. If you strike them or the captain strikes them trying to strike you, they will explode and knock you off the bridge. Really cool.
Do you know, I never knew.
Yep. Most people don't, which is why I'm pointing it out. Doesn't have really any significance, does a bit of damage. Once they're broken once, they stay broken and they cause a lot of health damage if you walk too close to them. So they can be a pain in that regard. But a number of times I've taken on this captain and he's gone to strike me and I've backed away just enough and he's hit it and it's blown him up. It's been great.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's kind of cool. I never knew.
Yep. So, up the large ladder at the end, and this will take you up to a door on the right, which is locked, but you can proceed to the rest of the level. If mm-hmm. we go back to the smelted demon, though, we'll come to this door from the other side.
Yes, and we'll find on the other side there is a bonfire.
Yes, so very useful at this point. Let's go back to the smelted demon.
Yeah, let's kill him.
That fog gate at the other side of the bridge, which is now lowered.
Right. So, across that bridge... And at the other end of the bridge, you'll see around the end of it, if you're a human, the summon sign for our very favourite Lucatiel of Mura.
Oh, finally, another NPC you like.
Well, what I want to see is Lucatiel versus Benhart. I think yeah. Lucatiel would win, actually.
I think she would.
But Benhart is a tank, he does high damage, and he's got a cool accent. So who's going to win?
Lucatiel.
Do you reckon?
So are we really going to... turn this podcast into who would win in a fight between Batman and the Hulk.
Okay, but my dad could beat your dad.
Okay, so enter into the doorway. Take Lucatiel if you need her.
Yeah, Lucatiel's handy, always handy to have. She's a really good fighter.
So, smelter demon.
Yeah, so the Smelter Demon is a mass of iron that formed into the shape of a body and was given a soul. Now, they say given a soul, not just developed a soul out of nowhere. So, was this a deliberate act of sabotage against the old Iron King? Who knows? But the guidebook does make clear that the rise of the Smelter Demon was also the rise of the lava that consumed the castle. So it wasn't at all about falling into the ground. The Smelter Demon rose up from the ground, bringing with him all this lava. A mass of iron turned into a creature and with one blow killed the old Iron King.
I never knew.
Yeah. So this was a deliberate attack on the kingdom. The old Iron King was killed by this upswelling of lava and this assault by the Smelter Demon. And was it deliberate? Given a soul, it suggests that actually the old Iron King was deliberately assassinated.
Well, who do we know that can imbue souls into inanimate objects?
Vendrick.
Mitha.
The Princess of Ven.
Mm-hmm.
Although, why would she want to do that?
She was in love with him, so I'm thinking Mitha has more probable cause.
Yeah. Although, competing kingdoms, Vendrick
versus
the old Iron King. Maybe.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Interesting.
And the Vendrick was in all, he was way into that whole, like, inanimate objects having souls thing.
Yeah, seems like it. Okay. Yeah,
I mean, it's speculation. I really don't know, but I'm thinking about that. You know, we'll work it out one day.
Never point out when it's speculation. All we do is speculate, but we say it with such confidence, people believe us.
Yeah, well, just, spoiler warning, it's all speculation. So, the Smelter Demon is a giant metal dude with weird horns that chops you with a sword. If you want to prepare for this fight, a bit of fire resistance and a fire shield is pretty decent. The Phoenix Palmer is good for that.
Oh, okay. So, how'd you find the fight?
You know, relatively easy. But bear in mind, I've always had a summon with me, and the summon always tanks. Lucatiel of Mira is a tank. So, I just stand back and I shoot it with my spells. Even on my second character, which is like less intelligence heavy, I just range attack that dude, and he dies. Now, he actually, it's one of those fights that's staged, so he starts out fighting differently to the way he finishes up. So at three quarters health, he kind of does this like charge up thing, right?
Yeah, he kind of goes Super Saiyan.
Yeah, and then you see the like the fire in his belly. Yeah,
it's like a furnace burns up in his guts. So he starts out doing only physical damage and at this sort of quarterish health.
He has this aura of fire damage.
Yes, so passive damage that'll happen anytime you're near him. If you're just hanging by his butt, which you do with most large bosses, you're going to be taking constant damage. So this is why you want to stack some fire defense before you come into the arena. So throwing on some good fire defense gear, even considering leveling up some good fire defense gear.
Yeah. So you get him down a bit more. At two-thirds health, he takes the bizarre tactical decision of stabbing himself in the stomach.
Yeah, commit seppuku.
But, you know, what do you know? It works out for him. And his sword catches fire.
So he sort of heats it up with the flame within, and now all of his attacks do fire damage. Interestingly as well, he can spew fireballs out of the end of his sword when he does like big overhand strikes.
So it's not enough to just be out of range. You also need to roll to the sides because he will catch you with that fire.
Interestingly, when I encountered this guy, I was bashing up against him quite hard. And on about my third attempt, I took in a summon with me, an actual human summon, and between him and I thought, we got this. This is going to be fine. No worries. Like, this guy seemed to have a bit of experience, knew what he was doing. I got hit, I believe, with one of these fireballs that came out of his thing. And some weird thing happened where it, like, slid me across the ground and, like, wedged me in between some textures in the side of the wall.
Oh, in the wall.
Yep. I wish I was recording. But, yeah, I was stuck in the wall with these textures. And they went transparent from the side I was on. So I could see into the room and I'm like trying to get out, and I'm rolling and I'm running and I'm jumping and nothing's getting me out. And so I can't swing my weapon. There's no point. I'm behind a wall. And so I'm like trying to lock onto the guy and use my spells to help this other guy out. I think my spells were going through. So I'm just, you got this, bro. So I just let the other guy do all of the work, feeling awful. This guy's probably like thinking, where the fuck did I go? Every so often the wall's just spewing like a soul spear out. And, yeah, unfortunately, the guy died.
Well, ah, damn.
Possibly fortunately, because had he won, don't know what would have happened. Shit. I just would have been stuck in the wall.
Could you have used the Homeward Bone? Do you have it?
Yeah.
If you don't have any, you're fucked.
Well, no, there's always the Cursed Seal.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so
I don't think that's what it's called.
Yeah, it may not be called that in this game.
In Naruto, it's called that.
But yeah, there is an item in this game where you spawn with it. You lose everything on your person or your souls and stuff, but it takes you to the nearest bonfire. So it's like a Homeward Bone when all else fails and you haven't got Homeward Bones.
Hey guys, Taboo here. The item I'm actually talking about is called the Dark Sign, and every class starts with it. This item has unlimited uses, and what it does is, as I said, spawns you back at the bonfire that you last sat at. However, it deletes all souls that you have on your person, so it doesn't even drop a bloodstain that you can go back and collect later. It's kind of a last resort. So, yep, just thought we'd point that out, seeing as it's an item that everyone has, but very few people would probably realize the purpose of.
So, the only other thing worth pointing out is, if he does one of these big jumping attacks where he goes up in the air and then stabs his sword into the ground.
Yeah, which actually leaves him exposed for a little while, doesn't it?
Yes, but it does one of two things. Either it sticks him in the ground for a second or two, in which case you can get damage on. But if he stays there for more than about 2.5-3 seconds, he's going to do a sort of Wrath of God style pulse attack.
Oh, that's a good reference to the first game.
Yeah, I think there's Wrath of Gods in this game as well.
Is there? I haven't played with Miracles too much.
Yeah, it's actually quite reminiscent of Quellarg's
flame push style attack. Yeah,
so be aware if he's staying in the ground for more than a few seconds, back the fuck up.
Now you can actually get both his sword and his armor. You get the sword by trading his soul with Strayed for the Smelter Sword, and you can get the special attack, which is done by using a heavy attack, is a flame attack.
Yeah, it's really cool. You sort of swing it into the ground, and as you lift it up, you kind of throw these flame balls up in the air. It's really awesome.
I like those special attacks, even though they damage the integrity of the weapon so much that they become useless, in my mind.
Oh, only if you overuse them, but that's a good thing. It means that in a PvP battle, people can't just keep spamming them and relying on them. It's like, okay, swing, swing, swing. Oh, perfect opportunity. Yeah, I'll use it. I've got enough durability.
Suppose you're right, but then the weapon has to do enough base damage to justify having it out, which a lot of them actually really don't.
Oh, if you level them up, they're not bad.
Yeah, but I don't, you see. I told you I'm the wuss. also, Morlun back in Majula will sell his armor, the smelter set, which has good defense stats, but...
the best in the game.
The best fire defense in the game.
Oh, excuse me. You're right.
Yeah, so the best fire defense stats in the entire game, which makes sense. That dude was made of fire, so, you know, he probably wants good fire defense armor. Otherwise, it melts off him and he's standing around naked and that's embarrassing. Trust me, I know.
Okay.
So, the opposite of what Taboo normally does, exit through the back door, go up some stairs.
Ooh, good one. I'll pay that.
And there's a chest with the porcine shield. Now, there's a bit of backstory to this I don't understand. Do you want to...
Yeah, I'll take over. So, the porcine shield, before the game came out, and they did this for the previous game as well, super cool. It's basically From Software engaging their community. They said, hey guys, opening up the floor to you, submit your best Photoshops for certain shields, and the rest of the community can vote on them, and whichever ones get voted up to the highest will get in the game, and a few that we choose will get in the game, and all this kind of stuff. So there's certain items in the game, all shields, which were actually designed by the community. So yeah, this was one that got actually voted in by the community. It's actually a reference to Epic Name Bro. His image that he sort of runs with is that of like this little chibi pig. And so one of his fans obviously submitted this in honor of Epic Name Bro because it's a pig face. And I found it kind of cool. The item description says, a strangely porcine shield. The pig head looks eerily authentic, but it's an imitation. And it's not confirmed, but that description was made by From, and it's possibly a reference to the fact that it came out that the guy that made the shield just got an image of a pig and traced it. So it's like... he's kind of imitating. He's not really an artist so much as he just traced it in Photoshop and submitted it.
Okay. It's a reference to Epic Name Bro.
Just having a bit of a jab.
Sure. So Epic Name Bro is obviously a video blogger slash...
he's one of the bigger names in the YouTube community for Dark Souls. He actually helped write the official guidebook.
Which is pretty neat. Good on you, From. Inviting, you know, interested media producers along on the production process of future projects. Hey. Never mind.
Righto.
So, the Ironhearth Hall bonfire is beyond the Smelter Demon. This is the bonfire that is behind the door we mentioned earlier.
So, hey, Church.
Yeah, Taboo.
You know the Pursuer?
I know the Pursuer.
Yeah. It's an interesting name, that, isn't it? The Pursuer. You kind of would assume that he might pursue you through the game, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would assume that.
Do you know about the pursuer in this area?
Yeah, I know about the pursuer in this area.
Damn, I was hoping I was going to blow your mind.
I found out by accident.
Wow, really? I didn't know. I only found out while researching this episode.
I was just
super cool.
Oh, really? I was just running on through, and then he just appeared out of the ground. And here's the funny thing. The first time I fought him, I didn't have much trouble killing him. The second time, stronger and with better spells and more experience with the game, he just slaughtered me again and again and again.
So, we should probably explain to the listeners. If you sit at the bonfire, the next time you go into the room that you fought the Smelter Demon, there's this big lump in the middle of the room just sort of sitting there. And as you approach it, the fucking pursuer pops out.
Yeah, I thought I was done with that guy. Apparently not.
Yep. So this guy actually follows you throughout the game. He's going to come up one or two more times after this.
Yeah.
So take on the pursuer for potentially your third encounter.
Yes.
Right. So get prepared because you get to have a second boss fight right here and now if you choose. He has about 80% more HP than he did in the first fight.
Maybe that's why
he
keeps kicking my ass.
Yeah, he's packing. And he only gives 3,000 souls, which kill two or three Elon Knights and you've got that.
Exactly.
It's kind of a bit.
But does he drop another
disappointing
soul of the pursuer?
No, but he does drop a Ring of Blades plus one. Really cool. Increases your physical attack by 35.
That's pretty decent.
Yep. So worth taking him on for that alone, I reckon.
Yeah.
Cool. So open that door now from this side of the bonfire and you get to carry on to the rest of the level. This is where we're going to cut it because we've gone over time.
So after this area, don't forget to go to Majula and have a chat with Morlan, who now has updated
his inventory.
Yeah. He's got more shit to sell you, and it's a smelter set, and if you are worried about fire, that's a decent thing to have. Later on, you'll encounter some enemies that spew a lot of fire at you, so important to have fire defense stuff.
Yep, and next week, we're going to cover the second half of the Iron Keep and Belfry Soul.
Yeah, so we covered Belfry Luna, now we're going to cover the other half, Belfry Soul.
Correct.
Now, I believe we have a mod of the week, and that's your area, so take it away, Taboo.
Right, the mod of this week is the KBAM interface icons by Hollow Watcher.
KBAM, right in the kisser.
KBAM stands for keyboard and mouse. Now, this mod gives you replacement textures for the Xbox buttons that are going to be on all of the screens and menus in the game. Great for the PC players, which anybody getting into mods would be, if they're ever playing with a keyboard and mouse. What it means is you're now going to have a much more simple way of figuring out what button to press because it shows you. And the nice touch with this mod is that you can get the template where you can redesign and remake your own in case you change your key bindings. So if the original isn't what you're using, then you can make it work for you. Really nice touch. We'll put the link up on the show notes. If you are playing with a keyboard and mouse and you're not using a controller, number one, why? It's so much easier with a controller. Number two, totally understand. You're a PC player. Go for it.
Yeah. So speaking of the week, so we've also got a question of the week. And the question is, of all the bosses, which is your favorite and why? Now, obviously, we're not at the level in the podcast where we've seen all the bosses, but if you've been listening along with us, we expect you've probably finished the game by now. Most people that are new to the podcast have finished the game. It's been out for a while. So of all
but
the bosses in the game,
if you haven't finished the game, you know, what's your favorite boss so far?
So far. And why? Because, I mean, one of the things that always, always struck me about the previous game was that all the bosses were very imaginative. There was some different weird shit going on with all of them. So I would like to hear why you're interested, because for me, the imagination behind a boss is the best thing. It's not the gameplay. It's not the visual effects. It's kind of like how much thought necessarily went into it.
I've got a lot to say on the topic, so I might save it for next week when we answer the question ourselves.
Sure.
Cool.
Well, one last thing.
Yeah, we have really enjoyed what we've achieved so far, and we've definitely developed a nice, strong listener base, which we're so proud of. But for you guys, it's better the bigger it is, because that means more is going to happen in the community. When we do streams, there's going to be a more engaging chat, more entertaining chat. When we ask these questions, there's going to be a bigger dialogue on the Facebook page and whatnot. So we're just going to ask, if you're on the internet and you're into the social media side of things, whether you're using Reddit, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, get our word out there for us. Let people know what we're doing. If you've got a friend that plays Dark Souls 2, maybe mention us to them. We'd just love to see us grow a bit more. So not asking for you guys to go to any extreme levels or anything, but if you've got your favorite media website, maybe just throw our name out there.
Yeah, and we don't make any money off that. We don't actually make any direct gain. We just really enjoy talking about Dark Souls, and we want to do it with as many people as possible. So if you could help us do that, we'd really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, guys. And for everyone that's been listening so far, we really, really do appreciate it. So,
how do you end a podcast is the question. Actually, maybe we should ask that one week. Question of the week. How do you end a podcast? See you all later, y'all.
You fucking idiot.
I don't know. I don't know what you say.
We need a catch line that we can just say each week so people know.
Yeah. Like, praise the sun and pass the ammunition. I don't know.
Keep drinking Dad Estes.
That's the stupidest. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Keep drinking Dad Estes.
The Dark Souls 2 has been a Screaming and Digital production. You can contact us on info@thedarksouls2.com, join the community at facebook.com/thedarksouls2, tweet @thedarksouls2, or leave a comment on the show notes. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or spread the word. Our theme tune is The Knights of Darkness by Zero Project.
Batman would definitely win, by the way.
Against the Hulk?
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you seen Avengers?
Batman would win.
Against the
Hulk?
I can't
believe you, of all people, don't think Batman would win.
Okay, so Iron Man...
Okay, we just gotta fucking... God damn it, okay. Pandora's box.
So Iron Man, who could kill Batman with the utmost ease, couldn't kill the Hulk. Captain America, who could kill Batman with the utmost ease, couldn't kill the Hulk. Thor, who could kill Batman with the utmost ease, couldn't kill the Hulk. Who else is in that movie?
Loki. You think all those people could kill Batman?
Loki, who could kill Batman with the utmost ease, couldn't kill the Hulk.
And here's the thing. Here's the
thing. All of them together, who could kill Batman with the utmost ease, can't kill the Hulk. The Hulk is perhaps the strongest of the Avengers. He is unstoppable. Batman wouldn't stand a fucking chance. What is Batman going to do against the Hulk?
Batman is just a supremely awesome tactician.
I love Batman. He is. He's actually, he is the embodiment of a tactician, right? He's a perfect tactician, but the Hulk will tear his legs off.
If he gets close enough.
Which, of course, he will. He's the fucking Hulk. I just can't believe you'd say that. The Hulk could kill Batman with the utmost ease.
Okay, just stop.
The Hulk would just destroy that clown.
Dick Knight.
Dick Knight? Why'd you say Dick Knight? Is that like what you call Wednesday?
And we have our outtake.